Well, a couple of weeks ago, when Jan does this kind of thing to us that he did now this morning, wants us to do something, he asked us just to think of our favorite passage, and we did, I hope, think about our favorite passages. If I could find my cursor, I'd be happy. I'd be really happy if I could find my cursor. And the passage which I spoke about was, as my favorite passage, was Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 to 11, and I just spoke to you a little bit about why I like that passage, and today is a great opportunity for me to spend more time in that passage, because it is just such a wonderful passage, and particularly on Mother's Day, it just speaks so much to what we want to talk about this morning, what we want to focus on mothers. When his disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he said this: when you pray, say this, say, "Our Father." Now, Scripture has a lot to say about God as Father, but today's Mother's Day. And I want to use my favorite passage to speak to you a little bit about the mother heart of God. Maybe you don't often think about God having a mother heart, but I want to speak to you about the mother heart of God. You see, when God wanted to show the depth of his love for us, he used a mother's heart to describe it. As I said, this is probably one of my most favorite texts, and as we look at it, we can just see God giving us insight into his mother's heart. But in order to really understand it, I want to take a few moments to put the text into its historical context. At the time when this text was written, this book was written, Israel was divided into two kingdoms. There was the northern kingdom of Israel, and there was the southern kingdom of Judah. They had split after Solomon and his two sons. His son wanted to make it hard for them, and it just split into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And at the time, Hosea was the prophet. Now, prophets were God's mouthpieces. Prophets were those who gave God's message to his people. And God's message was to warn his people, the northern kingdom of Israel, that you better repent, otherwise the Syrians are going to come in and they're going to take you into captivity. So Hosea was, in a sense, the last roadblock that God put up to give Israel a chance to repent. Sadly, they didn't repent, and the Assyrians came in and took them into captivity. And it's in that context that we have God pleading with his people through the prophet Hosea. And what we have is this family model. And in terms of the family model, we have a teenage son, Israel, rebelling against his parents, God. And what we see today is a mother heart response to a teenager's rebellion. A mother heart response to a teenage's rebellion. Listen, as God, mother-like, tries to engage her son, the conversation starts by God reminding them of how it all began, how God had birthed Israel. Of course, that birth happened when God delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt, when Israel was a child. I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son, because it was just after they came out of Egypt that they went to Mount Sinai that God entered into that covenant with them, made that agreement with them, and at that point in time they became his nation, and they were birthed. They became God's son. But Israel, God's child, was no longer a child. The child was now growing, maybe become a teenager, and was no longer listening to the voice of his mother. And whether or not we are parents, it doesn't take much imagination to sense what it feels like to watch a child that we love self-destruct. It hurts. And God's mother heart was breaking as he watched his son going off his own way. You know that I used to be a probation officer, and part of that job as a probation officer was preparing reports on offenders, juvenile and otherwise, and giving a recommendation with regard to sentence. And I used to sit with mothers who were good people, whose heart was breaking for their son or for their daughter. They had done their best. They had tried everything they knew to keep their child on the straight and narrow, but it just seemed that the more they tried, the further the child went from them. That's kind of what God is saying here. He says, but the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. You can sense the pain of a mother's heart watching her child going further and further away, the more she tries to love that child back. And as I sat with mothers talking about their daughter, their son, they would reminisce about how it used to be before their child went off the rails. Kind of what God does in this passage. He says, it was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. They did not realize it was I who healed them. It was I who led them with cords of human kindness, ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and I bent down to feed them. Mother-like, God remembers all he has done for Israel. Nothing was too much for God to do for them. That's what a mother's love is like. But nothing the mother does or says has any impact on this teenage son. So what do? Certainly, you reach a point where you can't take the pain and the heartache any longer. And quite frankly, it seems that the only logical way to ease the pain is to say, that's it. I'm finished with you. And God reached that place. It seemed like cutting Israel loose was the only solution to the pain of his mother heart. But no sooner had that thought crossed his mind than everything inside of him revolted and the mother heart of God cried out, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? Answer, I just cannot do it. That's the mother heart of God. And God expresses that same sentiment like this in another place. He says, can a mother forget the infant at her breast and walk away from the baby she bore? Well, it seems impossible, but maybe it does happen from time to time. But even if mothers forget, I'd never forget you, never. Mothers, in order to show the depth of his love for us, God describes it in terms of a mother's love. And then he adds, and my love is even greater than a mother's love. Oh, how Israel's rebellion hurt God. And how it posed an enormous, almost insoluble challenge for God. On the one hand, Israel is in rebellion against God, which means that God has to cut them off. Because not to do so would compromise his holiness. On the other hand, his mother heart of love refuses to cut them off. How does God resolve this tension? How does God deal with this problem? How can God give expression to his love and not compromise his holiness? Well, this is how God does it. My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I'm not going to act in anger. I'm not going to destroy Ephraim. So, how does God solve this problem? Well, come with me to Genesis chapter 19. And there we find the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is what God did with Sodom and Gomorrah. We read this, thus God overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities. When God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he overthrew them is the word that we have there. Now, that word overthrew, translated from the Hebrew overthrew, can also be translated like this. It can be translated as annihilated. It can be translated as destroyed. So the word overthrew, you could have put there, God didn't overthrew them, but he annihilated them, or he destroyed them. It's the same word. But there is another way in which that Hebrew word can be translated, which we see in Hosea chapter 11, verse 8. He has that same word translated like this, my heart is changed within me. It's the same Hebrew word used of Sodom and Gomorrah, changed. Where it is translated, overthrown, annihilated, destroyed, my heart is destroyed within me. Let's go back to this problem this insoluble thing facing God. On the one hand, because of Israel's rebellion, God, who is holy, is required to cut them off. His holiness demands it. But on the other hand, the mother heart of God cries out and refuses to do that. How is that problem solved? How does God get to the place where he can give expression to his love without compromising his holiness? There's only one way: to punish the rebellion and give expression to his love. Rather than destroy his people, God chose to allow himself, his own heart, to be destroyed. Hence, my heart is changed. My heart is destroyed within me. And right there, we see Calvary prefigured. Right there, we see Calvary prefigured. Because it was on Calvary that God literally allowed himself to be destroyed. As he took the punishment for our rebellion, which means that God's holiness wasn't compromised. As he continued to show his love for us. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? God's love for us is beyond question. On Calvary, God gave expression to his mother love by allowing himself to be destroyed in our place. It was the only way to continue in relationship with rebels like us without compromising his holiness. God's love is beyond question. Let's turn to another illustration, another way of talking about the mother heart of God. I've told you before, I know I have, about the farmer's hen who would hatch her chickens in our garden in Stellenbosch. Sadly, our garden wasn't predator-proof, which means that there were predators around. And once the mother hen was nearly killed when a mongoose came looking for her chicks. On another occasion, I witnessed it. A dog got in and tried to get at her chickens, and you should have seen this mother hen. She kind of puffed herself up like this and looked really scary, protecting her chickens. She intimidated the dog, and the chickens that stayed protected by her survived. Those that ran away didn't. And Jesus himself chose to use the mother hen picture, and he has the context of that occasion. Jesus knew he was about to die. He knew that it was his own people who were going to crucify him. And shortly before Jesus died, he stood looking out over Jerusalem. And Jesus' mother heart of love for his people broke, and he wept for Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those that I send to you. How often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. He identifies himself with a mother heart, with a mother hen protecting her chicks. Such love. Even though his people rejected him, Jesus nevertheless went to the cross and died for those people and spoke of what he did in terms of a mother hen looking after her chicks. Can a mother forget the infant at her breast? Walk away from the baby she bore? But even if a mother forgets, I never forget you. Never. Here's another biblical picture giving a different perspective, a different side of the mother heart of God. It shows a different aspect of the love. You see, at times things may happen to us which simply do not make sense. Things that cause us pain and confusion, things that may even lead us to question God's love. And to understand what's going on, we need to look at a different aspect of the mother heart of God portrayed by a mother eagle. Like an eagle that stirs up the nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions. Mother eagles do that, you know. Mother eagles take responsibility for growing and maturing their children. And this includes teaching them to fly. eyewitness to such an account, to such an event, describes it like this. The mother started from the nest in the crags and, roughly handling the youngster, she allowed him to drop, I should say, about 90 feet. And then she would swoop down under him, wings spread, and would alight on her back. And she would soar to the top of the range with him and repeat the process. Perhaps once she waited 15 minutes between flights. I should say the farthest she let him fall was 150 feet. My father and I watched spellbound for over an hour. Can you just imagine being that little eaglet? The mother, day after day, had lovingly come with food, popping it from her own beak into the eaglet's beak. And now, as that eagle approaches, the eaglet looks up expectantly, but this time it's something different. This time the mother starts destroying the nest, pushing the eaglet into the void. You see, eagles are made to soar. And it's the loving heart of the mother eagle that brings about the discomfort in order to teach eaglets to become eagles and soar. And even though the eaglet may not understand, the mother just carries on. The truth is that mother eagle is expressing the same kind of love that the mother hen expressed in defending her chicks. So when we experience pain and discomfort, it doesn't mean that God no longer loves us. Indeed, the very pain and discomfort that we are experiencing may well mean that God is growing us. We really do need to learn that God loves us and to trust God. And these biblical analogies help us understand the mother heart of God and His love for us. The question that we need to answer is, what would it look like if we really did believe that God loved us? Well, for this we're going to turn to a verse in the Psalms that I've turned to often before. A verse that paints a powerful picture of what our trusting God's love looks like. But I have stilled and quietened my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. That's what trusting contentment looks like. And that's a picture that you either get or you don't. It's an image that we need to allow to arrest us. It's a picture which we need to feel, to kind of experience, more than to understand it intellectually. I mean, how does one explain the contentment of a weaned child simply trustingly resting with his or her mother? The biblical picture of contented trust reaches its highest expression in the image of a weaned child with its mother, the mother heart of God. I know God loves me. God allowed His own heart, His own self to be destroyed because He was not willing to let me go. I know God loves me because mother hen-like, God cares for me, protects me. I know God loves me because mother eagle-like, God is willing to allow discomfort in my life because He knows the plans He has for me. I know God loves me, and therefore I choose to still and quieten my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Today's Mother's Day. We celebrate not just mothers, we celebrate motherhood, we celebrate maternal bonds. And in doing so, we recognize the enormous responsibility and privilege God gives women to be the ones whose love He chooses to allow to mirror His own. Shall we pray together? if you've never responded to that love, why don't you do it today? He loves you anyway. Whether you turn your back on him or not, he will not stop loving you. You see, his love is a mother heart type of love. And he longs for you to simply say, thank you, Lord, for that enormous love. I want to receive it. And maybe this morning God is challenging you to do something. To take your own love and commitment towards him to a new level. To embark on some project which intimidates you. To do something in faith that makes you vulnerable. And you know that he's calling you. Won't you respond to his mother heart love? And do it in response to his prior grace, knowing that in his love, he'll never call you to do something for which he will not also enable you. He loves you. Thank you, Lord, for that amazing love. And Lord, even if some of us haven't had the privilege of that kind of mother's love in our own lives, Lord, all of us have a sense of what the ideal mother's love should be like. And help us to look beyond maybe what we've experienced and respond to the mother heart love of Almighty God, who allowed himself to be destroyed so that he could still love us without compromising his holiness. Hear us, Father, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.